I'm Antigone Kefala. I try to write poetry. I have also written prose, although nothing has been translated so far. I have also done one translation from the Greek, which has been published, a poetry work of a Greek poet called Koutsocheras. And I have also translated from the Romanian, because I know Romanian, a series of fairy tales. And I'm also publicity officer with the Australian Council for the Arts. I was born in Romania, but my parents are Greeks. Within a European context, the nationality of your parents will determine your own nationality. It is not as in Australia, that you become automatically an Australian if you are born here. We left Romania after the war in 47 and went to Greece. And we stayed in Greece, which was then, the civil war was going on at the time. And we left Greece in 51 and went to New Zealand. And then in 69, we came to Australia. I have always tried to write, shall I say. As a child, I tried to write poetry in Romania, and I did write some poems, which of course were of no, nothing brilliant about them. In Greece, when I came, I had to learn Greek, because I didn't know Greek in Romania. And after I learned it, I wrote a number of short stories at the time, which were mostly adolescent stuff. But then when I came to New Zealand, I had to learn again English to start to be able again to write. So what can I say, that I actually started writing in English during my university years, which will be, say, 55, 56, I can say that I have really started doing some very, very simple, preliminary things in English. It's very difficult with a new language. You don't know how to judge it, how to measure it, how to utilize it, its weight, its structure, its coloring. And also I bring to it an approach which is very un-English. That when you start with the European approach is a more emotional approach than an English one. It also contains more lyricism than modern, present-day English poetry will contain. It also contains much more terse approach to language and to things. And within the structure of the English poetry today, at least as shaped by, say, T.S. Eliot, there's so much understatement, which is very difficult for a person coming from another tradition to get used to or to write in. And so my first verse, for instance, in New Zealand, was considered to be so flowery and so un-English, so to speak, that no one will ever publish it. And even when I look at it now, I see why they didn't want to publish it, because it's obvious it was totally outside any of the English-speaking tradition, at least, you know, from, say, from the 30s onwards. What I probably had from Europe was an attitude to poetry more than actually the ability to imitate any given style within any of the countries that I lived in. For instance, at home, they were great readers of French literature. And in New Zealand at the university, I did French, of course, because I knew the language, and so it was easier for me to study French than to study English, for instance, to have an easier to get to a degree. And so there is the French have an attitude to writing, which is a much more intellectual than an English approach to it, yes. And also, I also had an attitude via Greece. It is much less difficult to put into words what the Greek attitude will be to writing, because if one takes Sepheris now as an example, he has also been influenced, I think, by some of the English tradition. He is very understated, while by comparison, Gatsos or Sikelianos are so lyrical in their approach that it's very difficult to translate in English. It doesn't come across at all. Probably the attitude was shaped by a number of elements at home, by the fact that my father, for instance, and my brother were both musicians, and a lot of music was being played. What I carried from Europe was mostly an attitude to art, to the importance of art. What I was primarily, the process is a very complex one, because, for instance, when I came in New Zealand, I never thought of myself, neither I don't even now think of myself as someone who writes, except when I sit down to do it. I don't approach life with an aesthetic or, I don't know, artistic approach. I look at it as someone, I don't know, as anyone who look, I assume, and then the thing comes out in a certain form. In New Zealand, mostly, coming out of the European environment, I felt totally foreign. Then I went into the university and then tried to find my bearings in relation to an entirely different culture that seems to me, as having come out of Europe, it was such a new thing, and the totality of this new thing I could never get used to. Europe is old, and you feel the past everywhere. Doesn't matter how. or in what forms. You feel it in the streets, you feel it in the people, you feel it in the types of faces, you feel it in their eyes, in their movements, anywhere you feel it. The age of Europe, it is a thing that you carry with you. And when I first came to New Zealand, it was so, I don't want to use the term crude, but it was raw in the sense that it had not been lived, even though the Maoris had been there before and for so many centuries. It was still an unlived country in the European sense. And I was totally foreign to everything. So in the beginning, what I tried to do was just to make myself feel a bit at home, or tried first to, I used to read a great deal, and I wanted to understand how it was before there. But New Zealand at the time had very little. Now in the last 10 years, it has more. Not even their own people had expressed something about themselves in New Zealand. And it was very difficult coming from outside to understand them in any way. Because I assume other people probably are much more able to take the country at first to go. But for me, it's much easier to understand a place if people already have seeped the essence of the country via an arts medium. For instance, if they painted it, or if they put it into theater or into music, or I don't know, it is much easier then to make contact with a past, with an attitude to life and so on. And New Zealand had very little of this when we first went there in 51. It's very difficult, even when you look at a new country, to be able to write about it, because first that you need a perspective to it, and once you are involved living in the country and having to adjust to it, you don't have the perspective. Now, most of the things in The Alien, which are actually about alienation, have been written in Australia. What usually comes with me is it's a basic feeling, and then the thing finds expression in some way, and I work again and again to make it as close to the original feeling that gave it birth, so to speak, as I can. Sometimes it's very difficult to find the language which will put precisely what you wanted to put, because either you have not reached in yourself the complexity, the means to reach the complexity of the things that you want to express, and therefore it falls short of what your original feeling is. And people will pick this up immediately. I mean, you can never lie in art, as everybody has said. It's a very transparent thing. I'm working now on a new, which I hope will turn out to be a whole new series of poems. The working title is Harbours. I'm hoping that it will be in three parts, so to speak, which will touch maybe Romania, I'm not sure, Greece and Australia. I have not written very much, except some poems which can be said to be in relation to Greece. And I shall read you now one of them. It's untitled because they will come under the same heading as Harbours. In the unknown house, we came bearing the message. They came to see us with painted faces, full of jewels, pointing to us as we entered the pendulum, an antique piece, we thought, rosewood, smooth with time and effort, and gorgon's heads with green eyes. The virgin they had hidden. They were sure of the seeds, indestructible, they said in set voices. And the time of forgetfulness, we asked, we who had always known our superfluity. They were unaware of the terror of trees that exhaust themselves in the giving, and of the mirrors everywhere, blooming relentlessly, pools of white fire, unable to contain the unimagined. Just recently, Penn approached me to do the translation of a Greek poet called Koutsocheras in one of their series for, what is it called actually? It's poetry from countries that live under a regime which is not democratic or whatever, things of that nature, yes. The actual book is more, it's actually called The Poetic Manifesto. And it is actually, I think, more manifesto than, if I can say so, than poetics. The title of the work is Men for the Rights of Men Rise. It's actually not the form which is most difficult to achieve, but the tone of the poems, because in Greek lends itself much more easily to this type of declamatory poetics, if I can call it so. And the Greeks are very much used to the form, so to speak. They rise with it more or less, you know. It's not an emotional language, but it's a mixture of emotionalism and intellectual ideas. And oratory is much more. Probably the Irish can do it within the English-speaking, or the Welsh could do it quite well. But within the and this is difficult to put in the English translation, so that you will actually sound not exaggerated, and so that people will not say, oh my God, there is this another of these European approaches to the thing. This is the most difficult thing to put it in, to give it a tone that could carry the reader, give it the immediacy it has in Greek, and not sound too much outside the acceptable English forms, shall we say. Poetry is a sort of constant activity, so to speak. I don't want to use the word, but I mean, yeah, one writes it. For prose, you need a lot of concentrated work on a day-by-day basis, while for poetry, you need concentrated work, but it operates along other lines. It's a shorter form of your poetry, medium and so on. They were saying actually in New Zealand that this is why New Zealand had many more poets than novelists, because each one could, you know, write a poem in a weekend, but since everybody had to go to work, no one could sit down and write novels. You have to have time for prose work. I love the medium very much, although what I usually produce is, this is probably why I can't publish it. It's not actually a novel in the accepted sense. It probably doesn't have enough plot or enough continuation, or I don't... it deals with other matters, and probably this is why they don't want to accept it here. But I want to write prose, more or less, if not whenever I can, so to speak. At the time I came, the council was extremely small. There were about 30 here, or 35 mostly. It was a very intimate place. It dealt mostly with the performing arts. It had no literature, no visual arts. Well, the amount of money given to the performing arts at the time was very small. It is not very small. To the performing arts was nearly 4 million or something like this, while now it has become 14 million, but it has incorporated now the former Commonwealth Literary Fund, the former Commonwealth Art Advisory Board, yes, Composers Fellowships, yes. But now everything has enlarged, has become, I mean, to such a scale. For instance, what the Literature Board has given in the past financial year is really amazing in fellowship, in guaranteed incomes, in special grants, and so on. It was unthinkable, shall I say, 2 years ago, that this amount of money would have been put into the arts. Giving only one example, I met the other day David Ireland, privately, and I asked him how he was getting on with his writing, and he said, oh, it was very strange in the beginning for him to be staying at home and writing, but but that now he's, you know, well into it and has just finished a novel and is about to start another one, and so on, which is, you know, I'm very good for people who have never been able before to afford to stay at home and maintain a family and write full time. This is an enormous... What I think we can say about Australia at the moment is that people at least are trying to come to grips with some sort of essentialness of the country, or coming to grips with their lives or with something else. Because, say, 10 years ago, the theatre, for instance, had very little. You could not see an Australian on stage. We didn't know how he would behave, what he would say, what he would do. While now, at least you can see Australians on stage. They either speak the vernacular or they deal with more serious topics, but at least you can either identify or not. You can understand them better than before, which I think it will help in the long run to give a shape to the country culturally. I should like to write poetry who will speak to people, who will not be an academic sort of exercise, who would become meaningful within lives, who would help people recognize in themselves areas which all of us would like to recognize or come to grips with, or help us go on living, or make us understand the world around us, or any amount of stuff, shall I say, things of that nature, that one can refer to them as immediate things, that one would go to them as one would go to a friend, to, if one has reached an impasse in life and cannot go further, one will say, maybe so-and-so will help me, or within that context, a thing which is meaningful, not an exercise in either poetics or linguistics. And the language itself is a very important thing. It has a life of its own, and unless you come to grips with it for yourself, it's very difficult to put across any of your meaning, if you have any meaning, that is. So it is a parallel line of discovering a meaning and discovering an instrument that will help you put across the meaning. But essentially, my aim will be to be as simple as possible and as complex as possible, but accessible and also meaningful.